Daniel chapter 6 today. It is one of the all-time favorites, the epic story of Daniel and the lion's den. But if you know this one, come at it with fresh eyes. There's more to this story than one man's courage. It is a story of tested faith, godly integrity, and the power of good habits. Here in Daniel 6, Darius is the king, and the kingdom is a new one. Babylon is gone, and the Medes and Persians are in power. Daniel, however, is still going strong. Now, if you pictured a teenager in the lion's den, you might want to update your flannel graph. Daniel is in his 80s. And what is he doing? Same as he ever did. 80 years old and still faithfully serving God as king while working in a man's kingdom. The name of the kingdom doesn't matter. Daniel is the same. That's called integrity, and that is really the heart of our story. Integrity is a rare jewel among humans, and it's more than just honesty. It's what people are looking for. I've heard many people complain about the loss of morality among youth, and perhaps with some reason. But ask a teenager what they really value in terms of character, what's important in friends, and they will almost always say, "What matters to me is that they're real, genuine. I'm tired of all the fakes." Though they may not use the word, what they're looking for is integrity. Integrity means consistency and loyalty. It means being the same inside and out, keeping your word, and living by the same values in every situation, no matter the cost. If you want to reach the lost, understand that they're not looking for your amazing message or great church programs. They want integrity. Are you for real? But you don't really know a man's integrity until it's put to the test. For Daniel, it's time to get the number 2 pencil ready. Test day has arrived. Chapter 6 opens with a word about King Darius' government. 120 satraps appointed to rule throughout the kingdom, like governors, and 3 men oversee them. And Daniel is one of the 3. It's quite remarkable. Daniel was a Jew, captured as a slave, yet found such favor in Babylon that he was placed in charge of all the wise men. Now, generally, when a kingdom was defeated, the new king gets rid of the old regime entirely. But not Daniel. New kingdom, same Daniel. And look at verse 3. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Catch that? The whole kingdom. Number 1 in charge. How did he do it? Well, he served a worldly government with godly integrity, above reproach. Maybe that's a word for some of you at work. Now the boss likes integrity, but the other guys, well, if you put the honest guy in charge, the rest of the crew won't be getting away with what they want to get away with. So they decide to do what politicians do best, start digging for dirt. Imagine if a political hit squad tried digging up dirt on you. What would their shovels turn up? What did they find on Daniel? Verse 4. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. I like that. That right there should be on the job requirements for every leader. Worthy of trust, not corrupt. Corruption is the opposite of integrity. It means going bad from the inside out. Not negligent. He didn't miss stuff. He took full responsibility for everything under his watch. That's why the boss likes him. But how is that possible? Because serving God as king gives you integrity. Because you know that the boss is always right there. And you know he always pays well for faithful work. So in verse 5, finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God." They figured him out. Daniel's faithfulness wasn't just a good set of morals. It was his loyalty to God. So they hatch a plan, and they talk King Darius into passing a new law, in verse 7, saying that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. And Darius takes the bait. The law passes, and Daniel's in a pickle. What does he do? Verse 10. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. 3 times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. This verse is the heart of the story. Daniel will be heading to the lion's den for the big showdown, but he doesn't wait till he gets to Detroit to prepare for the game. Get it? Detroit? Lions? Little football humor? Never mind. But seriously, we teach this story sometimes about Daniel's incredible courage to face off with the lions. But where did that courage come from? Here in verse 10, when Daniel went home for the home floor advantage, down on his knees before God, praying, giving thanks, and one little phrase that wins the whole thing, just as he had done before. That's the real key. With his very life on the line, what does Daniel change? Nothing. He prays, not out of emergency, but just as he had done before. That is integrity. Daniel is God's servant to the core. So how does a guy get like that? If you ask me, it started when he was a teenager, back in chapter 1, with a resolution of the heart over one little choice about food. Jesus tells us that the one who is faithful in little things will be faithful with much. Integrity. Think about that when you make small decisions over little temptations, victimless crimes, you know, sneak into the movie. Remember, it's not just the result of the action that matters. It's the direction that you have to turn your heart to do it. But still, one noble decision does not a godly man make. Daniel was more than that. Notice he prayed 3 times daily. It was routine, a habit. He didn't wait for the big moment. He lived his faith every day. He built it in. Listen, 99% of life is habits. Following Christ is more than a decision. It's a walk, a set of habits that keep you in his steps. Prayer habit, fellowship habit, service habit, worship habit, Bible habit. It's the reason we made through the Word, to equip you with good habits, because godly habits are the seeds of godly integrity. Well, sure enough, in verse 11, they found Daniel praying and asking God for help. No surprise here, but I like the word found. If they busted in on you unexpected, how would they find you? They go straight to the king to rat on Daniel. King Darius is crushed. Remember, Daniel is his number one, the one guy he can really trust. But they tricked him, got him on his own pride. And there was no way out. The law could not be repealed. And in verse 16, so the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." Did you catch the king's words? Your God, whom you serve continually. There's a word for that. I think it begins with an I. A stone is placed over the den. Daniel is left in the darkness to spend one long night with hungry, vicious beasts. The king can't sleep, and at the first light of dawn, he hurries to the lion's den. He calls to Daniel in an anguished voice. "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Now look at the effect that Daniel's trial has on the king. The king, who just days ago declared that everyone prays to him, is calling Daniel's God the living God. Don't underestimate the testimony of your hardship. And Daniel's voice rings out in response, "My God sent his angel." Daniel was not harmed. The king is overjoyed. And look carefully at verse 23. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. Trusting God gives you integrity, and trusting God brings you salvation. By faith, Daniel stopped the mouths of lions. But again, faith is more than believing that God is able. It is trusting that God is faithful. At the king's command, the men who accused Daniel were thrown to the lions. Didn't even make it to the floor. And Darius makes a decree in verse 26. "I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions."
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.